Right, this week the parsha is Truma, and that means after the giving of the Torah, we then have, that's in Parshat Yitro, we then have Parshat Mishpatim with basic laws of the Torah, and then Moshe is now on Mount Sinai for 40 days and nights. And we have this teaching, this part of the Torah, Truma. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'yikhu li truma, and they should take for me truma, which is can be translated an offering, a donation. Me'et kol ish ashe yidvenu libo, from every person whose heart prompts him, tikhu et trumati, you should take my offering, my donation. And then he gives a list of what is actually in the truma. Now notice that so far it's mentioned the word truma twice. And then it's the next verse, Gimel, verse 3, mentioning the word truma a third time. This is the truma which you should take from them. And he gives a list of precious substances, zahav, chesed, and uchoshet, gold, silver, and copper, utchelet v'agaman, blue wool, purple wool, betolad shani, scarlet wool, v'sheish, and linen, v'izim, and goat hair, v'orot elim odomim, and reddened skins of rams, v'orot chashim, and the skins of chashim, the tachash, which is an animal which only existed in the time of the Mishkan, according to some. Sometimes it's translated as badger. Va'atzei shittim, and cedar wood. Shemen lama'or, oil for the luminary, for the menorah. Psamim, spices. L'shemen hamishcha, for the anointing oil. And the spices are also used for liktoret hasamim, for the incense. Avnei shoham, onyx stones, v'avnei miluim, and other stones which will be set in settings. La ephod v'lachoshen, for the ephod, a kind of apron which the high priest wears, and the breastplate of judgment. V'asulim mikdash, and you should make for me, they should make for me a sanctuary. V'shechanti b'tocham, and I will dwell in them, not in it, but in them. As the Alshech says, and as the Maimer Bati Legani stresses, I will dwell within the heart of every single one of you through the fact of there being this sanctuary. Now, here we have the beginning of the Parsha, talks about three kinds of Truma, three kinds of offering. And that's in fact what Rashi says. Our sages tell us there are three offerings here. One is the half a shekel from which were made the silver, half a shekel from which was made the sockets of the sanctuary, as it explained further on in the Parsha Pekudei. One is the half a shekel which was used in order to buy the offerings which were brought on behalf of the whole community. And one is the gift from the donation from each individual, and who donated these different items which are listed here, gold, silver, and copper, and so on. These 13 things, all of them were needed for the work of the sanctuary or for the clothes of the Kohanim. So there we have those three kinds of truma, and it's with this theme that the Maimer begins. Now the Maimer, the discourse we're looking at now, is from it was actually said on the evening of Tuesday evening, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar, in 5735, 1975. And it is not a edited discourse, but it's but this is the discourse we're going to explore. So the Maimah begins. They should take for me an offering from every person whose heart prompts him. Tikhu et trumati, you should take my offering. V'zot ha-truma she-tikhu mi-tam, and this is the offering you should take from them. U'mone et ha-yud gimul dvarim, and it counts the 13 things, gold, silver, and so on. V'yudu ha-diyuk b'zeh ma-sh-omeh gimul pamim truma, and it's known the point that's made about the fact that it says truma three times. And it says about this in the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is quoted in Rashi on the Torah, that the Torah is speaking about three kinds of truma, three kinds of offering, that even though expressively it's speaking only about one kind of truma, it is hinting at another kind, at another two. And because explicitly the Torah at this point is just talking about people donating precious goods, precious metals and precious stones and cloth, valuable cloth and wool, in order to build the Mishkan. But in fact, it's hinting at another two kinds of offering. And therefore it says three times the word truma. As it explains then, the Talmud Yerushalmi, which is in Shkalim, chapter 5, that v'yikhu li truma, that is talking, the first time it mentions the truma, it's talking about the truma for the offering for the sockets. From each person whose heart prompts him, you should take my truma, that means the truma of the half shekels from which they bought the korbanot, as we saw in Rashi. And then it says, and this is the truma, v'zot ha-truma, which you should take from them. That means the truma of the Mishkan and the actual dedication, which when the things being dedicated in order to make the sanctuary. And that's what it says. Now we can ask here, since the Torah is hinting at three kinds of donation, why in fact does it only speak in detail about that which was dedicated in order to make the Mishkan, the sanctuary? And also there's a difference in the way the three kinds of truma are mentioned, because when it speaks about the sockets, it says li truma, for me an offering. It mentions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it also mentions this as something in itself. And when it's speaking about the truma of the shkalim to buy the offerings, it says trumatai, which is not something, it's in itself just truma without any qualifying suffix. It's trumatai, it's the truma of trumati, sorry. You should take my truma. It says my truma, that it's God's truma. So the first kind is just truma in the absolute. And the second kind is trumati, my truma, the truma of God. And then when it speaks about the third kind of truma for the sanctuary, it says this is the truma. And again, not mentioning God. So the first and the third just say truma, and the middle one, which is for the offerings, that talks about my God's truma. There's also a rather strange midrash, a midrash Tanchuma, which the discourse mentions that needs consideration. The midrash says, when it says gold, that is concerning the kingdom of Babylon. When it says silver, it means the kingdom of Madai. When it says copper, it means the kingdom of Greece. And when it says skins of rams made red, it means the kingdom of Rome. Rome is Edom, is like Adam, red. Now this is surprising. Why should the exiles, these are the four exiles, Babylon, Modi, the Medes, the Babylonians, the Medes, the Greeks and the Romans. Why should this, what has this got to do with the idea of making a sanctuary? They should make for me a sanctuary and I'll dwell among them or within them. And this can be understood through considering a discourse or discourses by the previous Lubavitch Rebbeim, particularly by the Tzemach Tzedek, the third generation of Chabad. That these three kinds of truma, they are the three concepts of Torah, Tfilah, and Mitzvah. Study of Torah, prayer, and carrying out Mitzvah. For these are the three pillars, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilut Chasadim, which are mentioned in Pirkei Avot. These are the three pillars on which the world rests. Torah, service, meaning the temple service, but the temple service means prayer. And Gemilut Chasadim, doing kind deeds, doing good deeds, acts of goodness and kindness in general, means all the mitzvot. As is known, that the mitzvot relate to the right hand, which is the attribute of chesed, of kindness. So therefore, in general, all the mitzvot, certainly all the positive mitzvot, are an expression of chesed, of kindness, and so therefore these are the three pillars, the three concepts, Torah, prayer, and mitzvah. So now we can understand why exile, the four exiles, are related to this concept, this theme in this parasha. Because the difference between these three things, Torah and the service in the temple, Avodah, and good deeds, is that Torah is a flow from above to below. Okay, we're now going to consider these three things as these three kinds of devotion in terms of Torah, prayer, and mitzvah. Torah is a flow from above to below. As it says, Halo kod varai ke'esh, Jeremiah says, on my words like fire, that the Torah, even when it comes down below, it's still the word of God. And therefore, just like fire cannot acquire impurity, the sages tell us in the Masechet Brachot, so also words of Torah do not acquire impurity. So the Torah has this quality of fiery purity coming from the divine. It's the expression of the divine here in this world. Avodah, the second category, that means prayer, is elevating from below to above, because the korbanot, what happens with the korbanot? A korban, first of all, you have an ordinary animal, then that animal is taken and is sanctified. It's dedicated to the temple. It's dedicated as a korban, as an offering. So this is not the world as it is in itself. It's the way it is when it's been elevated above. And similarly with prayer. The purpose and the wholeness of prayer is that it's a ladder which stands on the ground and its head reaches to heaven. So in other words, prayer is something which reaches upwards. So Torah is something which comes from God downwards into the world. Prayer is something which reaches from our world upwards, elevating and transforming things into something holy and spiritual, heavenly. Then we have the third category of good deeds, keeping mitzvah. Now, good deeds is a very interesting concept, because this is specifically with material matters, the way they are here below in this world. Tefillin, written on physical parchment, tzitzit, which are made of physical wool, and similarly with all the mitzvah, we do the mitzvah with tangible physical materials. And that's why it says in Igeret HaKodesh, in Tanya, it says there in section 10 of Igeret HaKodesh concerning mitzvot, that they are finite, they are limited. All the mitzvot have a certain measure, how much wine do you have to drink for kiddush, for example? How big does a lulav have to be? A shofar, can a shofar be 2 inches long? If you had a tiny little shofar, is that enough to carry out the mitzvah of shofar? How long does the blast of the shofar have to be? Everything is defined in limited terms, unlike Torah, about which it says, "Achukam eretz mida urchava min yam." It says about the Torah in the book of Job that it is beyond, it is broader than the earth, it is wider than the sea. So, in other words, Torah is something infinite, and similarly, prayer. Prayer is in such a, the ultimate of prayer is the head of the ladder. The ultimate of prayer reaches to heaven, heavenwards. The absolute self-abandon and dedication to the divine in the saying of the Shema, or being like a slave before one's master without any identity at all, as in the Amidah, just beyond, which is the very opposite of the practical reality of the world. And the whole concept of bitul, of selflessness, of self-abnegation, which is a fundamental aspect of prayer, is the very opposite of the reality of physical existence here in the world. So therefore, we can understand, as he said before, to the idea of exile, the four exiles that the Midrash mentions, to this concept of the donations to the sanctuary, because at the time of exile, the physicality, the materiality, is there in a very, very precise, in a very forceful way. Exile is a time when materiality and certainly physicality is dominant in many ways. And so therefore the service of a person to make a dwelling for God in this lower world, in the world which is so low that there's nothing lower than it. And so therefore it's here in this situation of exile, which is so low, which is so materialistic, so physical, so unilluminated, here it's relevant to say that we are taking the donations for the Mishkan, for the sanctuary, to the third category of the mitzvot, because here in this realm of keeping mitzvot. Now, because the keeping of mitzvah is something which is involved in the material world, and so the time of exile is a time that materiality is dominant, and so therefore we can understand why the idea of making the sanctuary should relate in some way to the concept of the four exiles in Babylon and in Media, which is Persia as well, the Persian exile, and then the Greeks, and then the Romans, which were still in the Roman exile, because these four exiles and the whole concept of exile signifies the realm of materiality. And it's in the realm of materiality that one is able to do mitzvot. That is where we are doing mitzvot. We're carrying out mitzvot in a physical world, even in a dark and gloomy world where materiality is dominant. Now, according to this, we can understand also the different expressions about these three kinds of donation. Because at the beginning it says, they should take for me an offering. V'yikhu li truma. Now that means, it's very interesting, they're taking something, not they're giving something. You would have thought if they're giving a donation, they're giving something. But no, they're taking something. Why? It's the sages do comment that through the fact of giving the donation, in some sense they're taking God. So that's the relationship between taking and giving. You give something, and through that you are getting godliness. But here, it focuses on the idea that this first kind of chumah is actually Torah study. And Torah study, we can understand why it says take. Because when we are being given this wonderful flow from above to below, that God gives himself to us, Dodi li, my beloved is to me, V'ani lo, and I am to him. God, we are taking godliness. When we study Torah, God puts himself into the Torah, and then we are drinking in that Torah, those divine teachings. And so therefore it says, take me, v'yikhu li, take me, not give. It doesn't say yitnu, but take. Not give, but take. Because the service on the line of Torah is not a rising elevation from below to above, which would be yitnu, giving. But the other way around, it is taking, it's a flow from above to below, the fact that we are taking godliness when we study Torah, because God and Torah, right to the Kutcha B'nichu Kul Echad, Torah and God, the Holy One, are completely one. And it uses the phrasing, they should take me, me meaning Atzmut El Or Ein Sof, the essence of the radiance of the infinite. And this is the infinity of godliness that we are able to take when we study Torah. And that flow of Torah flows down below. Even though it's the Atzmut, it's the very essence of godliness, and nonetheless it flows right down below into the exile of Egypt. And so there we have the concept of the flow from godliness, which comes right down to us as individuals and to us as the Jewish people as a whole, that we are taking this godliness right down here in this world. And it says, now, when we consider further this idea of truma, the word truma itself is an interesting word. Let's just consider the word truma. Tof, resh, vav, mem, he. Now, truma itself can be interpreted in two ways. It can be understood as harama, as lifting something, or as separating something. And we find in the, for example, Rashi, in our parsha, he speaks about it as separating something. Now, there are two aspects to this, because these two different ways of understanding the word truma, does the thing change, or is it the same? If you say that you're elevating something, then it's been elevated. It's on a higher level. But if you say you're separating something, it's somehow on the same plane. You're separating it, but it's, even after you've separated, it's still in the same general plane than it was. All that's happened is you've separated. There were two things together, or there was one amorphous mass, and then you've separated something off, and now it's a separate thing. But it has not really changed in its substance. Now, we get these concepts in Torah, because in Torah, both of these ideas are there. Because the word truma also represents Torah. Because truma, let's go back to that word, taf, resh, vav, mem, hey. Now take out the mem. What do we have? Taf, resh, vav, hey. Taf, or let's put it the other way around. Taf, vav, resh, hey. Torah. The word Torah. It's the word truma is Torah plus a letter mem. And what is that letter mem? Mem means 40. 40 is the 40 days that the Torah was given, that Moses went up Mount Sinai for 40 days. So the connection of the of Truma to Torah is because in Torah there are also these two explanations that we had about the word Truma, lifting up and separation. That the concept of Truma as it's being lifted up, that aspect in the Torah is that when the learning, when we study Torah in a really deep way, ultimately the person reaches a level of studying Torah for its own sake. In other words, his study of the Torah elevates him in an amazing way. He studies for the sake of the Torah, and as we learn in what it says in the book of Bahir, which is quoted in the Zohar and many times quoted in Hasidic teachings, that King David would join Torah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means that Truma really means, in the sense of elevating, when one is learning in a very spiritual way, the Torah is coming to us from God, and we are rising with the Torah to a very elevated level. And that's Truma as elevation. But then we have the other explanation of the word Truma, which means separation. That the way the Torah is at the beginning of our study. Because what happens at the beginning of study, we're not learning necessarily for the sake of the Torah, with the tremendous, like, as it were, the Torah is something absolutely boundless and infinite. We're learning it in our own way, with our own understanding, and in fact the Torah then becomes part of our own logic and rational processes, that the Torah becomes it's Torato, it becomes this person's chidush. He said a very interesting chidush. He wrote a perush on something. He wrote a pilpul on some topic in Torah. It becomes his. Now that is something which is at the place where the person is. It's not the beyond worldly elevation of Torah of fire reaching to the Ein Sof. It's Torah down here in the world, and the person has appropriated the Torah for himself, which is part of the whole procedure of studying Torah. But being here in this world, there is something exalted about that, infinitely exalted, because that's where the person is studying Torah. Just as when you're separating something, it's in the same realm where it was previously, but now it's something different. As indeed, for example, there's the concept of truma, literally. When one is making a pile of corn, a pile of wheat, and one is making some part of this wheat into something, into truma, which is sacred, so the wheat is there, it's still part of the pile. And nonetheless, we have said the wheat which is on the north side of the pile, a certain amount of it, that becomes truma, that becomes the special sacred food that was given to the Kohanim. So there is a way in which something, even though it remains part of this physical world, also acquires a level of sanctity. And so there is this concept. And that's why it says, that's why it explains here, answering one of the questions that he asked, why it just says the word truma and not trumati. It doesn't say my truma. Because since the nature of Torah is a flow from above to below, and especially the way Torah is in the way that it's the truma of the person, it's the study, the Torah study of the person, the divine nature of the Torah is not revealed. That's veiled when the person is beginning to study Torah. He's just studying it about these different topics which are there in the Torah. That's particularly when we're talking about the study of Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, which are speaking about the practicalities of the physical world. Hasidic teachings tend to be speaking about the divine, but that is unusual. The general nature of the revealed Torah, Nigle, and especially the Talmud and the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, they are speaking about practicalities in the world. Should one do this or should one do that? And what happens if this happened or that happened? So therefore, even though we are talking about practicalities which are in the world, we're here in this world, nonetheless, v'yikhuli, we are taking godliness. In such a way, in an infinite way, because the Torah is eternal, and even when it comes down below into our physical world, the Torah has got a tremendous power that at every single level, for every single Jew, the study of Torah is connecting that person with God and connecting together the topics that he is studying and he is talking about. The halachot, the laws of this situation and that situation, even though it's part of this physical world here, the Torah in all its fire has come down into this physical world and is there bringing the world to a different level as world, world qua world, world as world. Now, having spoken about the truma which represents Torah study from above to below, we now come to the next, the second version of truma. Me'ed kol ish asher yedvenu libo tikhu et trumati. From every person whose heart prompts him, you should take my truma. This refers to the path of avodah, which means korbanot, the offerings in the temple, and prayer. Because the truma, which of half shekels, was used to buy the, of half shkalim, was used to buy the korbanot, which were offered up on behalf of the entire Jewish people. And even though some of it was also for the repair of the temple, Bedek HaBayit, as the Talmud Yerushalmi says, the main concept of the truma, the donations of the half shekel, was for the offerings which were on behalf of everyone, as Rashi writes in his Perush on the Torah, at the beginning of our Parsha, and also in Ki Tisa. Now this is why it says Yidvenu Libo, that what person's heart prompts him, because it's hinting at the idea of Avodah Shebelev, the service of the heart. And the Talmud says, what is the service of the heart in Tanit? When it says that one should serve God with all one's heart, so the Talmud comments, what is the service of the heart? That's prayer. And this is also why it says, Me'et kol ish, from every person. Now the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, in his Or HaTorah, teachings of Hasidic teachings, he is citing the teaching of the Magid of Mezrich, and what the Magid of Mezrich, the second leader of the Hasidic movement, says, that the meaning of the word kol ish, every person, means kulo ish, the whole person. And that means that within each individual there's the divine soul and the animal soul. And the animal soul is called a behema, it's called an animal because it's more materialistic. And the meaning of when it says kol ish, every person, the whole person, it means that also the animal soul at this point is absorbed within the quality of being a human being. In other words, the animal soul is absorbed in the divine soul and is united with it. And that's what happens in the avodah of prayer, in the service of prayer. And that's why it says, Mikol ish asher yidvenu libo, from every person whose heart prompts him, that through the prompting of the heart, which is the service of prayer, through that he becomes an entire whole person. And so that is well. When it says, tikhu at trumati, you should take my truma, that in the words truma, there are two interpretations, elevating and separating, as we mentioned before, because also in Avodat HaTfilah we have the same concept, similar to the study of Torah. So on the one hand, elevation, that the person is ascending to a higher level, and then on a more elementary aspect of prayer, separation, becoming more sacred, even though one is still at the same place. One hasn't actually moved up into spiritual realms, but nonetheless, there's a difference. And that quality of separation, truma, separation rather than elevation, that is there also in prayer, just as it's there in Torah study. And then we come to the third kind of truma. So far, we've had truma which comes, which expresses the Torah coming from above to below, and we take that Torah. And in that Torah, there are the two dimensions of being elevated and of being separated, and that applies to the way that the Torah relates to the person and what he or she is studying. And then we have the second aspect of Truma, which is the relating to the service of prayer, where again we have those two qualities. And now we come to the third aspect. And there we have the idea of Vezot HaTruma SheTikchu Mi'itam. This is the Truma which you should take from them, and it counts 13 things: silver, Zahav, Kesev, and Nechoshet, gold, silver, and copper, and so on. And there is a discussion here in the discourse about whether it's 13 or 15, or it could be counted as 11, but we are just focusing on the number 13 here, which is also the way that Rashi expresses it on the Perush, on his commentary on the Torah. Now, this idea of 13, the number 13, has profound significance, because in Hasidic teachings of the Tzemach Tzedek in Or HaTorah, it explains that these 13 things correspond to what is called in the Kabbalah Yud Gimel Tikune Dikna, the 13 aspects, or the 13 tikkunim of the beard. Now, the beard is a kind of a spiritual dimension relating to Keter, to Rachamim, to mercy, and there are the 13 aspects of the beard. In other words, this is a very exalted realm in the system of the Sfirot. It's the highest level, or very exalted level. And they are all above the downchaining of the world. So there's the downchaining of the worlds with the 10 Sfirot, and then higher than that is a supernal realm, which is a realm of supernal mercy. And these 13 attributes of the beard relate to the 13 attributes of mercy. Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. So there's a connection there, and it's a very exalted spiritual dimension. And in the Hasidic teachings, which relate to the year Tafresh Ayin, which is 1910, and teachings of the Rebbe Rashav, Reb Sholem Dober, the fifth generation Chabad Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, and so there is the idea that these 13 kinds of donation, which are listed in the Parsha, they correspond to the 10 Sfirot, and three aspects which are beyond the Sfirot and beyond the whole realm of downchaining of the worlds. And similarly, this tripartite aspect of beyond worlds, it's a kind of source of worlds, that, and there are three aspects. On the one hand, Briya Yitzira Asiya, creation, formation, and action, that's one group together. Atzilut, which is another realm, emanation, which is a higher dimension. And then the worlds of Ein Sof, the worlds of the infinite, which are absolutely beyond Atzilut. And so those are the three dimensions which are beyond worlds. And then you have the actual world of the 10 Sphira. So that altogether makes 13. So that's the 13 aspects of the donation which is used to create the Mishkan, the sanctuary here in this world. Now, as we mentioned, the sanctuary, the making of the sanctuary, this third kind of truma is the performance of the mitzvah, carrying out mitzvah and good deeds. So what is being stressed here is that it is through the performance of the mitzvah, which are in the physical, practical mitzvah, which are in the physical world, of which there is nothing lower, and it's even the world which is subject to exile, and concealment, and materiality in its coarsest sense, and certainly physicality. It is in that realm that one somehow reaches up to this realm of 13, which is completely beyond the downchaining of existence. Because the learning of Torah is also in the Garden of Eden. there's the idea that when the souls come to the Garden of Eden, they there are able to learn Torah, and in fact they're able to learn things, they're able to understand things that they learned but didn't understand so well here in this world, in the Garden of Eden, in Gan Eden. They learn that and they reach a new dimension of understanding. And similarly, in terms of prayer, the souls are understood as having a certain power of prayer, even when they are beyond the world, before they descend into this world. And there's a verse, Chai Havaya Lekei Yisrael, Asher Amadeti Lefanav, that it said that I stood before God before coming into the world. And it's explained in the Gemara that this standing before God is in fact prayer. So this is talking about the soul before it comes down into the world. And also when the soul leaves the body after being in the world 120 years. There is the concept of prayer in some sense. And even the angels, there is the idea that the angels sing shira, they sing songs to God, which is a concept of prayer. So in other words, Torah and prayer in some sense are in spiritual realms like the Garden of Eden as well, or before, or the spiritual realm before a soul enters this world. However, when we come to the concept of good deeds, of mitzvot, mitzvot are not in the upper world. Mitzvot are only in this physical world of which there's nothing lower. And so that's why we have this this donation of gold, silver, and copper, indicating the idea of the mitzvot, and also indicating the idea of the exiles, the different dimensions of exile, as we learnt in the Midrash, because here in exile there are many different levels. And in fact, one way of considering what is exile is the idea of the soul descending into this world. That's already an aspect of exile. And then we have within this world, one has the way that the world, that the descent which was caused through the sin of the tree of knowledge. And after that, you could take the point when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. And so there we have all kinds of, and you can even go to an earlier point, says the Maimon. You can go to the idea of the Miyut HaYareach, the way the moon was decreased. The moon and the sun were originally the same size. And then, says the Midrash, the moon complained and says, well, how can you have two figures the same size? Shouldn't there be a hierarchy? So God said, all right, you go and reduce yourself, which is a profound concept in Midrashic thought and in Kabbalistic thought, understanding that. And we also have an even earlier dimension of the Shvirat HaKelim, the breaking of the vessels in the realm of Tohu, the realm of chaos. These are all spiritual dimensions of some kind of decrease, some kind of fall in some sense. Now all these dimensions of fall, of negativity, whether it's the breaking of the vessels or the decrease of the size of the moon or the eating of the tree of knowledge or the whole concept of the soul coming into this world, they are all descent in order to rise. And it's precisely in the lowest realm and the very lowest aspect of the very lowest realm that one is able to reach the very highest dimension. And so there we have this in our relationship with God, that it's through the fact that the service of keeping mitzvah, which are in this physical world, which is this low physical world, through that one reaches higher than all other levels, higher than what can be achieved through Torah, higher than what can be achieved through tefillah, through prayer, and therefore the number 13, indicating approaching a realm higher than the downchaining of the worlds, is specifically with the third truma, which is the realm of keeping of mitzvah. So there we have the explanation of the three kinds of truma, expressing Torah study, which comes from above to us below, prayer, which in itself is a reaching from below to above, and then the very profound concept of not leaving this world and reaching upwards as we do in prayer, but at the level of this physical world itself, which includes conceivably the coarseness of the materiality of existence, we take aspects of the world in which we are and we combine them together in the way that the Torah tells us to do through the mitzvot of the Torah, and through that we create the sanctuary. And that sanctuary is an expression of the way that our actions here in this physical world at its lowest level actually reach to the highest dimension beyond the downchaining of the 10 sefirot of the world, but to a level which is beyond existence, to the 13 attributes of the beard, this Kabbalistic concept relating to the 13 attributes of mercy, a realm which is higher and higher, relating to the Ein Sof, to the infinite, even though we are still here in this world. It is the action of mitzvah here in this world, not an otherworldly state as might be in tefillah and prayer, in prayer, and even not in the spiritual glow of Torah, but these are the practical mitzvah. And so therefore we have the explanation of the three trumot, the three kinds of donation through which we build the sanctuary in this world and connect to God through prayer and Torah study, in which God gives himself to us. And the fulfillment of all these concepts will of course be with the coming of Mashiach.